Good morning, Coweta Assembly. Welcome to Church Online. I am Pastor Matt, the youth pastor. I am so incredibly honored to be with you guys this morning. Before we get started, I just want to encourage you guys and say to everyone that you're doing a good job. I know these last 7 weeks have not been easy, but we're making it. I believe that we are over the hump and that there is light at the end of the tunnel. We're by no means out of the woods yet. It's still going to be a hard and a tough road as we navigate how to reopen and what that looks like for us. But I just want to encourage you all that there is hope. You guys have done a great job of getting through this so far. And I know that together that we will be on the other side of this soon, looking back at how good and faithful God was through it all. Before we get started, let's pray. Jesus, I thank you so much for your goodness. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you that you are watching over us and that you know every single one of our needs. I thank you that you are working in us as a church to minister to this community and to minister to this state and this world. God, I pray that you just continue to empower us, continue to be with us. God, I pray you just encourage us. Let us not lose hope. Let us not lose sight of how powerful you are and the mission that you're calling us to. God, I pray that if there's anyone listening to this who is a little down, who feels like they're a little bit out of it, God, I pray that you just encourage them right now, wherever they are. I pray you just let your hands be upon their heart, God. Let them feel your peace. Let your peace that surpasses all understanding wrap them up, Father. Lord, I pray you drive away any anxiety, any depression, and I pray you let your joy fill our hearts and our minds right now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, you could turn with me to the book of Acts. It's also in the Bible app if you have that open and ready to go. So if you guys have your Bibles with you or you have your Bible app ready to go, please turn with me to the book of Acts. The book of Acts has always been one of my favorite books in the Bible because of the transformation that happens in the disciples' lives and then the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of them to give them the ability to preach the gospel. But through this lockdown, I have especially been looking to the book of Acts and studying it because of all the similarities I see between the first century church and our church today. Now, obviously, we're not being persecuted and hunted and killed like the early church was, but the similarities, they start right after the Easter story. So after Jesus is crucified and he's buried, the disciples, they lock themselves inside because they are afraid that they're going to be next, that they're going to be hunted and they're going to be killed just like Jesus, just because they had that association with Jesus. Their lives have been turned upside down, and now their future is uncertain. Jesus himself resurrects from the dead, and he visits them multiple times, and yet we still find them hiding inside, but they're together. And they're praying. Then in Acts chapter 2, as all the believers are praying together in the same room, the Holy Spirit fills that place where they are staying, and every one of them are baptized with the Holy Spirit, and they start to speak in different tongues. Then all of a sudden, a holy boldness comes over the scared apostles, and they stand up and they start to preach to everyone who's gathered outside of that place. The message that they preach, it's a hard and it's a tough message because they are blaming those outside for the death of Jesus. But the message was a very Jesus-centered message and it pierced the hearts of those individuals. And as a result of that message, 3,000 people were added to the church that day. When studying the early church, I always love to go back and read about how simple and organic Christianity was back then. And I always love to read in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47, where it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple and broke bread from house to house. They ate the food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Now we know that there was nothing simple about the early church. They were new, They were inexperienced. They were being hunted and arrested and killed everywhere they went, and they were growing at a rate that was causing headaches. Left on their own, this was a formula for failure. But two words in that passage make it clear why the church not only stayed alive, but also thrived despite the odds. And those two words are together and prayer. We know that staying together, staying unified, praying and trusting in God were the two biggest factors that caused the church to explode with growth in an unlikely world. And togetherness, and obviously that's not a real word, but togetherness and prayer is what is going to cause not only our church, Guida Assembly, to grow and to succeed, but the entire church, capital C Church of the whole world, to grow and succeed during this pandemic. As I was studying this message, I did some research and I found that the word together was mentioned in the New Testament alone 89 times. Some of those occurrences of together are in Acts chapter 1, verse 6. So they had come together. And then Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And then Acts 4, 24 says, when they heard this, they raised their voices together to God and said. And then in Romans 15, 30, the Apostle Paul, he says, now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, through our Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in prayers to God on my behalf. Ephesians 2, verse 21 and 22 says, in him the whole building, that is us, that's me and you, being put together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you are also being built together for God's dwelling in the Spirit. And then my favorite, Philippians 1, 27 says, just one thing, as citizens of heaven, I live your life worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or am absent, I will hear about you, that you are standing firm in one spirit, in one accord, contending together for the faith of the gospel. And then, of course, there's Hebrews chapter 10, 24 through 25. It says, let us consider one another in order to provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, as all the more you see the day approaching. Now, every single one of those verses, those could all be a separate sermon placed in their context about being together and the importance of being unified. The early church, they had no other choice but to stay together and to stay unified. With all the opposition that they had in the world, and with the enemy waiting to attack with any crack that they found, they could not afford to be against each other. Their only chance of survival and extending the kingdom of God was to present a unified front and to show the world who Jesus was and what Jesus Christ looked like. And that time came from time of being together. Yes, they would work through disagreements and conflict, but they would also, through praying for each other, and they would encourage each other, and they were fighting the same battles together. I know just hearing that word together, it might be driving some of you guys crazy. You might be thinking that you've been in the same house together with the same people too long, and you just need some time to get alone. Or some of you, if you're like me, you miss the fellowship and the time of being together with your church family and your friends. Either being together or not being together, it is driving us crazy 7 weeks into this lockdown. But at the same time, we have the awesome opportunity of being together everywhere, all over the city, state, and world because of technology. I mean, right now, I'm the only person in this room, but I have the amazing opportunity of being together with you where you are watching this right now, speaking the Word of God to you. You might be together with your family in your living room, or you might be alone in your bedroom. But as you are watching this, you are gathered together with hundreds of people in the same situation as you, fighting the same battles of anxiety, the battles of worry, the battles of depression, and striving together to be more like Jesus and to try to reach this world for His kingdom. I want to encourage you to continue to use this unique opportunity to be together digitally with those you love and miss, and to continue to reach out and to love and encourage people online. It can be just as simple as sending a nice message saying that you're praying for them. Or if you have the resources, just checking in on some neighbors and seeing if they need anything, need any help with anything. That is how the early church thrived in their time of uncertainty. They didn't know what the future held, but they knew that they had each other as long as they stayed together. No one is asking you to sell their house and to give their proceeds to anyone else like they did in Acts chapter 2. But the Bible is clear that as Christians, we are to love our neighbor and we help out any way possible as the Holy Spirit leads us. The other way that the church thrived in the world was through prayer and trusting in God. I know prayer is something that we talk about a lot and something that we do a lot as a church, but it is so important that it is worth repeating. The early church in the book of Acts, they were always praying. And as a result, God was always moving and doing great and awesome things. When Christians prayed, their worry and anxiety and melted away. Whenever the Christians prayed, God showed up and he performed signs and wonders that we can marvel at today. One of my favorite stories of God answering prayer in the whole Bible is in Acts chapter 12. If you need something to make you laugh, this chapter is great comedic relief in a book that is tense and that is exciting in many ways. I encourage you later just to sit down, grab a cup of coffee, and just read Acts 12 over and over again. Now, I'm not going to read the entire chapter to you, but just to summarize the story to you a little bit. So at this point in the story, the whole church is being persecuted and they're being hunted down to be arrested and to be stomped out, in a sense. The leaders of the church are also being hunted and arrested. The two leaders at this time were the disciples of Peter and James. They were the guys, whenever you read in the Gospels, it was always Peter, James, and John who were the three main guys with Jesus. And so the Roman officials, they arrest James and they execute him. They put him to death. And this sends a shockwave through the church. They're devastated. But the Jews, they are excited about this. And so the Romans, they see how excited this made the Jews. And so they decided to arrest Peter as well. So now James, the second in the command, he's gone. He's out of the picture. And then Peter, the number one in command, he is now arrested and he is waiting to be executed the next day. And so this, of course, it sends the church into a frenzy and they're praying and they want something. They want God to move and to release Peter from this prison. So the Bible says in Acts 12, verse 5, so Peter was kept in prison, but the church was praying fervently to God for him. So the church was praying for a miracle without realizing how powerful their prayers actually were. That night, God, he answers their prayers and he sends an angel to go and to rescue Peter from the situation. Now, this is where the story gets a little bit funny. Peter, even though he is about to be killed the next day, he is sound asleep in jail. He has chains on his feet, he has chains on his wrists, and he is guarded by at least four different guards. And he knows that the next day he's going to be executed. Now, if you're anything like me, you would be pacing, you'd be awake, you'd be so nervous that you wouldn't be able to sleep. But Peter, he had so much peace through all this, and it was a supernatural peace that came from God that he was able just to sleep. So Peter, even though he is about to be killed the next day, he is sound asleep in the jail cell. He's chained up on his wrist. He's chained up on his feet. He has at least four guards watching over him. And he knows he's going to be killed the next day, but he's still sound asleep in the jail cell. He's so passed out that whenever an angel appears to Peter in the jail cell with blinding light, Peter doesn't even flinch or wake up. Now, you kind of have to feel for this angel. Every other angel that appears to somebody in the Bible, they get the opportunity to scare somebody and to say their pre-rehearsed angel speech of, do not fear. I mean, you read about it in the Christmas story with Mary and Elizabeth. And every time they get this awesome story to go back to heaven to tell everyone, like, oh, you should have seen their face. And so this angel, he's probably just got out of angel school. He's been rehearsing his speech the whole way down from heaven. And so he gets to the jail cell. He can't wait to see Peter's face when he scares him. And so he gets there. He has blinding light. He's shining on Peter. And Peter doesn't even flinch. He doesn't even wake up. So this angel's like, oh man, what am I going to do now? So the Bible says that the angel actually hits him on the side to wake up Peter. That's how deep of a sleep Peter is in. And so the angel, he's disappointed at this point. He's like, all right, quick, get up. Let's get out of here. I guess I got to rescue you. I didn't get to practice or to say my speech I've been practicing for. And so he rescues them. The chains, they fall off Peter. The guard is still sound asleep. Peter's awake. Peter doesn't even know what's going on. He thinks it's just a dream, just to add more salt to the wound for the angel. And so the doors are opening by themselves. And then Peter gets out and he still doesn't know what's going on. So the angel, he leads Peter all the way to the city gate. The gate opens by itself. And then the angel, probably out of a little bit of frustration, he just leaves Peter by himself. And then at that point, Peter, he comes to his senses, the Bible says, and he realizes that it wasn't a dream, but in fact, an angel rescued him. And so the story, it just keeps getting more funny as we go on. So the church, they are praying right now to God that he would rescue him from the jail cell. That he would perform a miracle and rescue him. And so Peter, he goes up to the house where these people are praying and he knocks on the door and he says, hey, it's me, Peter, let me in. So the Bible says a servant girl named Rhonda comes and answers the door. And as soon as she hears that it's Peter, she gets so excited that she runs back into the house where they're praying. And she says, hey guys, it is Peter. He is here. He's alive. God rescued him. And she forgets to even let Peter in. So Peter's still out there knocking. But then the people inside the house, the same people who are praying right now to God, they get interrupted by Rhonda. They're like, God, please rescue Peter. And then Rhonda comes and says this. And then the same people are praying. They say, you are out of your mind, they told her. But she kept on insisting that it was true. And they said, it's probably just his angel. And then verse 16 says, Peter, however, he kept knocking. And whenever they opened the door, they saw him and they were amazed. At this point in the story, the early church, they underestimated the power of prayer during this time. They spent a lot of time praying, and they've seen God move in very powerful ways. They've seen people rise from the dead. They've seen people get healed just by a shadow. They've even seen people be released from a prison before. So what caused them to have any doubt right now? What caused them to doubt that God was actually answering their prayer and releasing Peter from being killed the next day? I think it's because the situation that they were in, having their top two leaders arrested and both possibly killed, this uncertainty about their future, it struck fear into the hearts and it caused them to lose sight of the power and the trustworthiness of God. My hope and my prayer is that with all of the uncertainty and fear that is in our lives right now, that we never lose sight of the power and the trustworthiness of God. Whenever we pray, God listens. Whenever we pray, God moves. And whenever we pray together, the world can't stop us. We will not only be here on the other side of this when all this comes to an end, but we will be stronger than ever before if we stay unified and we never stop trusting in God. I just want to encourage every single one of you to stay unified, stay together. The enemy, he's going to be looking for cracks. He's going to be looking for ways to divide us up. But I want to encourage you to stay unified, stay together, and keep trusting in the power of God. Because God, he can and he will move and perform miracles like we've never seen before. And we can and we will be stronger on the other side of this. I want to encourage every one of you, if you can, to join us for prayer for our church and our community and our nation. I know right now we can't actually be together praying for one another, but every Wednesday night, Pastor Steve and Michelle at 7 o'clock, they lead us in prayer for our church. And this is a great time to come together, to pray to the same God, praying the same prayers all together. And whenever we pray, we are strong, anxiety and fear melt away, and God will move in powerful ways. We love you guys. I can't wait to see you guys soon in person. We are praying for you guys. Remember, stay strong and stay together.
Thanks for joining us today. A few things before we go. If you need any prayer or assistance from the church, give us a call at 918-486-3110. Our office hours are Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., but you can always leave us a voicemail or send us a message on Facebook. Our tentative reopening date for services in the sanctuary is May 17th, but you can also find details and updates on our Facebook page. And for tithing members of Coweta Assembly, you can still give your tithes and offerings online at agcoweta.generush.org. We love you, we miss you, and we can't wait to see you soon. Thank you.